It's been 30-plus years, and over those years, I've been so blessed to know my friend Uncle George Kamoko Jr., and he's come in to do many, many, many Christmas music specials for me.
Oh, thank you. Aloha.
Aloha. And today we also have joining him a very dear friend, Rock Hendricks. The great Rock Hendricks and George got together and did a show together with James Kimo West about 2 months ago. It was back, I guess, in September. And it was at the McCoy, and it was magic. I mean, I'm sure everyone told you how amazing that playing was, just like out of this world. It was so beautiful.
Yeah, playing with George was a real honor. And
you know, absolutely.
It's an honor, you know, playing with Rock. Wow.
And it's a mutual admiration, and we're already having them talk about doing some more gigs together, maybe at Nalu's, another place. But
yeah.
But for today, you didn't bring your sax, but we did want it, but you brought your CD.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to congratulate you. I mean, Rock is just like you. He's very low-key kind of guy. A lot of people, Shep Gordon was in earlier, and he didn't even know about Rock Hendricks, you know. And I'm going, you don't know Rock Hendricks, you know. I said, he's amazing, you know. And you have quite an amazing background going back to Berry Gordy and Motown days, and even knowing Marvin Gaye and all those people. And you played with some of those early groups that were just... You were the only white boy in Oakland playing with some of these Motown type groups, right?
Yeah, the Jacksons and Motown, and you know.
Yeah, see,
Bobby
I told you, humble.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's amazing.
I was a funk brother, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, quite amazing history, and not a lot of people get into those allowed in those doors.
speaking of history, though, I'm sitting here next to a treasure.
Yes,
a Hawaiian. Legend, treasure, right there.
Absolutely.
George, you're incredible.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
You know.
I've been really blessed. You know, I've been around a lot of different, you know, musicians myself. You know, my friend Marshall Sylvester. I don't know his name. Marshall Sylvester. Where we used to lay pipe together. You know, we laid most of the port of Oakland, where they got all the mats and line containers over there. Yeah. But my friend Sylvester also had a blues bar on 7th Street in Oakland.
Oh.
It was like a hole-in-the-wall place. and one of his, the guys who used to frequent the bar at least once a year was B.B. King. So I got to play B.B. with B.B. King way back in the 60s. So you know. And the thing that makes us unique, I think, is not only the music, but food.
Yeah, I bet there was some good. That's one thing I miss about Oakland, because that's where I'm from. Is the soul food. Now, if someone opened a soul food restaurant here on Maui, it would just be, because, you know, it's kind of like Hawaiian food in some way.
Yeah.
It's bad for you, but it tastes really good.
Yeah. Well, you know, B.B. King would actually carry 4 suitcases, and it wasn't, you know, he only had one guitar. Well, I think he had 2 guitars. But
Lucille.
But he had a backup Lucille.
Oh.
But he also had 4 suitcases, and they were full of pots and pans. And he also had his own cooking stove that he cooked. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, no.
This guy would go down to. Remember that open market on 9th Street? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. He'd go down there and buy, you know, ham hocks and all that. He had black eyed peas, fresh. Man. And he'd be cooking up a storm. And if he came to Oakland, he would be cooking up a storm for like 2-3 days, and that would be his food for the whole week. And he'd be eating. Greens and chitlins and all that, and his black-eyed peas. And then what was my favorite, actually, he would make some kind of cornbread kind of a thing, but you know, and with honey.
Honey
and butter.
I love BB. I had a chance to interview him a couple times, and I did a TV interview with him when I had a TV show in Santa Rosa, and he'd play there a lot, and just absolutely, truly a treasure, amazing guy.
Yeah.
And he got into TV later in Las Vegas. He had his own blues TV show for a while, but very cool. So I do want to give a shout-out to you, because you do have a new CD that's hit big time in Billboard and with Paul Hardcastle, and... It's an amazing story, because you've worked Paul Hardcastle how long?
About, I don't know, 12, 13 years now.
And and he's huge, and how did you connect with him?
I met Paul on Facebook, believe it or not, when it was just brand new, and I saw his name, and I'd always been a fan since the 80s. And I thought, wow, that can't really, because, you know, fake people are always on fake. But anyhow, it was really him, but he hardly had any friends, and I sent him a message, and I said, hey, I'd love to play sax on your stuff, but, you know, just dreaming or whatever.
Oh.
And I never really heard back. And I thought, oh, I really screwed up. I put my foot in it that time. And a few months later, he wrote back and said, hey, here, I'm going to send you a song. And next, that was it. And one thing after the next. And now we've had, I've had like 19 hits with him, number one Billboard hits with him featuring me now. So it's like I'm the go-to guy on Maui.
It's amazing. You know? And you've never met.
We've never met. And the less we talk, I think the better it is. So he sends me these songs and doesn't actually even tell me what to do. I just, you know. Do it.
Go for the feel, yeah. Just feel for it. That's what I do too all the time, you know.
Yeah.
Just kind of count on the higher power and how the source will come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Paul is based in England. We didn't mention that.
He lives in London, and he has a son that plays sax really good. And
that's you. You said that's Jesus.
Maybe he's calling me because. Yeah, but anyhow, no, it's funny. We've never met. But we make beautiful music together, and Dancing Galaxies right now is number 3 on Billboard.
That's a great name. That's the song, huh?
If that or goes CD? Number, that's from Hardcastle, number 8, and there's a series of albums, the Hardcastle and the Jazz Masters, and we're also doing a chill album right now. Chill music is kind of like a cross between smooth jazz and new age, trancy kind of stuff, relaxing music.
Yeah, electronic usually, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, anyhow, it's number 3 on Billboard right now, Dancing Galaxies. And if that goes number 1, that'll be my 20th number 1 with Paul.
Wow, so. And right it's on. Amazing. So this is a great marriage, and does I mean, you know, smooth jazz I happen to love, and I'm playing your music on our station in Sedona, KUOS, and it sounds wonderful. It's easy to listen to, you know, and it's really well done, you know.
Cindy, so, you know, it was your idea to put me with George Kahanamoku, which is the Hawaii's legendary guy here, and actually have a real smooth sax, not loud honky sax.
And it worked, didn't it?
It was incredible.
Oh,
you know?
It was incredible.
It worked.
And
it was
really amazing. Yeah, Thank you, Cindy, for doing that.
No, and you know, a lot of people didn't ever think of that. You don't usually think of saxophone with guitar.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
And then to have Jim Kimo West.
Yes.
He had not practiced or anything. He just literally agreed to come that morning.
He was great. It was an awesome show. And plus, the movie was really amazing.
Yeah. Yep, it was wonderful. I don't think you may have seen it. Rupam Sharma's song, the single from that, has been in the shortlist for an Oscar.
Wow.
For the song.
Well, the music was amazing.
There's a song that he did with Quincy Jones helped produce it, and then his other singer did it, and that's on the shortlist, and we'll find out if it makes it to the Oscars. So you never know. You know, it didn't get in for the Grammys yet; it could get in for an Oscar. And he, you know, he's a great guy. Rupam is. We just love him. Very humble guy, like you guys. I mean, that's what I love. I've been blessed to be around musicians as a DJ all my life and stuff. But I mean, truthfully, when I find gems like you and George and Rupam, I'm very blessed because there's no ego. It's just really a matter of loving music and having a great heart and good intent. And so that's why I do love what you're doing. And I was so excited, Rock, when you agreed to come down.
Thanks for having me.
George
is here. I had to be here, you know.
Rock was here, so I got to be down here,
well,
too.
Well, you know what? I actually was singing Feliz Navidad with George a little while ago, and I don't sing ever. I mean, but he got me. It's such a happy song that I was actually doing that. But I don't know if you want to do one song here as long as we're Facebook Live. And
what do you want a Christmas song or what?
Yeah. We got to do the Christmas song, and you know, cause 'tis the season, right?
Okay. Here's a Hawaiian song, a Christmas. Mele kalikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day.
You can sing along.
That's the island's greetings that we send to you from the land where farm trees spread. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright. Shine by day and all the stars at night. Mele kaliki waka is a morning red. Merry Christmas to you. Mele kaliki
maca is a thing to say on a Friday or on a Christmas day. That's the island's greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Yeah, we know that Christmas will be green and bright, and shine by day and all the stars at night.
George knows how to play happy songs.
Well, I love watching him play.
I do too.
And I like his watching his hands because he's incredible.
Well, let's do it for those watching and listening, because I am on Facebook Live too. Explain your Taylor guitar, which has an amazing story.
Well, this is not a Taylor. This guy used to make guitars for Taylor.
Oh, right.
And this guy's name is Art Davis.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Taylor went into Arm Machine, so they got rid of all of their guys. Now, this guitar was actually made by Art Davis. And when Art was 10 years old, his grandfather was a furniture maker in San Diego. And there was a big storm, and a big Monterey spruce tree fell down on their house. So the grandfather took that tree, and they planed it, and they made it, you know, and they preserved it. So this wood was sitting under Art Davis's great-grandfather, and of course the grandfather died. And then it's all clean, and he sealed it with wax and everything. Hmm. Until I came along, and I said, "Can you make me a guitar?" So this is actually made from the spruce tree when he was
old.
10. And you know, he's in his 60s now. So he made this. This is the first guitar he made for me 20 years ago. Art Davis.
And it's beautiful. He's got the mother pearl insert on it, and it's got a beautiful sound.
Yeah, this is probably my favorite guitar of all. And I've been sponsored by Martin Guitars. I've been sponsored by Taylor Guitars. I've actually been sponsored by Rain Song, those black guitars like that. But this is my favorite guitar out of all.
It sounds very warm, and it is 12 string.
It's a 12 string guitar, and you know, it's nothing fancy about it. This is actually his version of a taro leaf. You know, I consider the taro my elder brother in Hawaiian culture. You know, they say that Wakea, the sky, and Papa, the earth vibrated, and then born was the fetus, and it was born dead. So they took the fetus and they buried it in the eastern part of the aina, the land, and up sprang the taro plant, and the earth and the sky vibrated again, and then came man. So we consider the you know, according to Hawaiian genealogy, the taro is our elder brother. So that's why he put that in.
And you grow a lot of taro.
I have about 80 varieties. I lost about 40 varieties.
You said 80 varieties?
I used to have 120 varieties when I was in Kona.
Wow.
And I brought them all over here. But now they don't let you take taro from island to island because the big island, they have aphids and all kinds of diseases and stuff.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I got to, you know, so... Yeah, and I even got some taro from Tahiti and from my friends from Vanuatu and like that too. Yeah.
Do they do the Maoris grow taro?
Actually, the Maori has the same version. You know, we consider them cousins, but they come from the sweet potato.
Their
legend talks about sweet
potato. So it tastes, but is the sweet potato is not related to taro?
Well, the thing is, if the sweet potato, you got to think, where does it come from? The sweet potato. I really believe that the sweet potato comes from South America. So I really believe that the Maoris are our South American Aztec cousins.
Oh.
They came through Hawaii and then ended up in because they're you know, sweet potato comes from South America.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
And then taro, believe it or not, taro comes from Egypt.
I had no idea.
Yeah, if you look at all
but that's so interesting because taro needs water and Egypt's a desert. So
No. They got the Nile River.
The Nile.
It goes right through there.
So do they still grow taro?
They grow taro. I
didn't know that.
And then the taro followed the Silk Road, wherever the Silk went. That's right. So it actually started from, the taro started from Egypt. Then it went up to, you know, Micronesia. Then it went up to China and then in Japan. They all have taro.
I think you have to write a song about taro.
Write a song about
you
taro.
You did? Well, let's play it.
Well, this is a song called Naono Okaena, which means the delicacies of the land. I wrote this song for Auntie Edith Kanakaoli, who was my mentor, and she wrote a song about different kinds of seaweed, and I wrote this song with my friend Kalani Meineke. It's called Na'ono Oka'ina. It talks about her favorite varieties of taro. The first one is called Wahia Pele. It's a smoker pele. Now, this one is a smoky flavor. In fact, when you cook the taro, the leaves, that it comes up black.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's just like the lava rock, you know? And it's used in the olden days, hokupu. I mean, somebody said you got to go up and give gin. But the, this is the type of a... It's
you
a
mean Wahia as pele. An offering?
Yeah, as an offering. So it's a Wahia Pele taro. Then you get Wahia Pele ava. And this is a Wahia Pele sugarcane. It's a black and we with a, yeah.
So you have ava, sugarcane, and taro. And taro. That's black.
And then it's wrapped in a Wahia Pele tea leaf. It's a smoker pele tea. So this is very, very. I have these all growing in my yard.
Are they black? But you have to
make them. Yeah. It's black or red, yeah. And then you wrap them together. And then that's what you give to the volcano.
Is there extra carbon or something in there?
Are the leaves black colored?
Yeah.
So there's a plant at my house, and I couldn't figure out what it was. It must be one of those because it has black leaves.
Right. It's a Wahia Pele. It looks like a taro.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a Wahia Pele then.
I'll be darned. I was wondering what that was.
There's a sugar cane too, and when you look at the leaves look black and almost. Purple and everything like that.
By the way, I never had squid luau before, but that is my favorite.
Where did you get it from?
At
my house?
I had it at Mitch Kepa's birthday party.
Oh, right on. I can make that for you.
Oh, man. He's a man.
You can go. You can go. My friends go diving all the time. You know, they get 100 pounds of squid.
Wow.
The secret to the squid, though, is after you catch the squid, you salt it down, and then you got to put it on an open fire. That's how you dry it. I don't know. She's a vegetarian, vegan.
I don't mind.
But that's the secret to squid. You got to get that smoky flavor inside of the squid before you. Right. Then you cut it up. Then you can put beer in it to tenderize it and all kinds of stuff like that. Yeah.
And then do you bread it like calamari?
No. First, like this morning, like when I picked out that taro, I got all the leaves. So I bought on the leaves, put a little bit of baking soda, and it keeps the leaves from turning brown, and it'll keep it real bright, fluorescent green.
Mm-hmm.
Then I bought it. You got to go to for these 2.5-3 hours because it's real itchy. Then I put a little bit of salt. Now I freeze it. I put it in 5-pound bags, and I can either sell it or use it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I add... I go grate maybe 5 coconuts and I squeeze out all the milk from the coconut, add it in there. Then the squid we cook in beer or something like that to make it tender. And then I put onions and all like that, and a little bit of horse. So it's coconut milk, squid, and luau leaf. That's what you were eating.
Have you had that
squid luau
before?
No, I don't eat fish.
Oh, man, it's really good.
And I don't eat pig, luau is kind of hard for me.
It doesn't really look very good.
I have vegan luaus at my farm all the time because, those girls, the Timmins girls, they're vegan, yeah?
Oh, I didn't know that.
So they come to my farm all the time and we have vegan food all the time.
Well, you could have... that without the squid,
yeah,
right?
you could have the coconut milk, the onions, and the luau leaf,
and absolutely. I bet it's great.
And then you can add tofu if you want, or you could add.
Oh, it's really good.
Whatever, you could have whatever.
It's kind of like if you could imagine coconut flavored cream spinach.
I'd like that. When you have a big deal like Thanksgiving or Christmas, what do you do? Because you have all this wonderful food. What do you decide to do from your garden?
Well, let me tell you what happens is that, first of all, everybody invites me to go to there, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing is, before I used to actually, I started in Imo, and I go Kalua, maybe 20 turkeys.
Oh, my.
I used to raise turkeys, too, you know, and we catch them in the wild. And then, of course, you're going to throw a pig in there. Then we'll throw half a cow or something. And then we make lalas, and it goes on and on. But this year, my wife and I, Nancy, decided to go to the Big Island. I have actually one son by birth, and she has two. So they got 3 altogether birth kids. Then I adopted 12. So I have a tribe, 15 kids, 34 grandkids. And most of them live on the Big Island. So this year... Instead of flying all the kids over and then making our house a mess, we flew over to the Big Island, to Hilo, and we had a big cookout at my son's house. I mean, we had 2 turkeys, we had ham. I brought actually some fish. What did I bring over from over here? And then I brought over some, I made some teriyaki deer meat.
I've never tried it before.
Oh, yeah, you got to try that. Correct. Right now, that's what's happening. We caught some deer, so I take it up to Napiti, one of my students, the mom, puts this on sticks and makes the skewers and, mm-hmm. and everything like that. So we're going to take back some for my son. He's going to go.
Yeah.
I also mentioned kids, so my Linda, who's my farm worker, I mentored her grandson, Josiah, so she's going to go to his graduation on Thursday. Yeah. She's going to take over the betta fish and some opelo. Wow. She's going to take over this deer meat for my son. And my son's going to send us back some smoked macadamia nut pork. Wild boar, as he's caught. Yeah,
that's that.
So, you know, we keep the thing going back and forth, you know.
How do you just put it in ice and ship it? And in that? You can't do it as carry-on. What do you do?
No, what we do is we freeze everything. As long as you freeze it, and there's no ice, you know, no ice involved. So the fish is frozen, it reaches there frozen, and then he can just start out and eat when he wants, you know.
You fish, George?
Yeah, well, the thing is, this fish came from my friend Lloyd. He has ice printing, and he went out and he got a bunch of fish. He wants, and he gets a small little nabeta. It's my favorite. I mean, that fish. Yeah. You can eat the skill and everything.
Is that the little flat ones?
Yeah.
I love that when they deep fry them.
You can deep fry them if you want, but I just eat them straight like that.
You can just eat the tail and everything.
You eat the tail, you eat the skills, you eat everything. You know,
those are so good.
I eat the head, I eat the testes.
I love it.
And what I like about it is it's got a little bit of sand, so it gives some roughage. You know, clean you all out, man. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah.
Oh, they're fabulous. Yeah. And the meat.
What's it called?
Nabeta. That fish never even reaches the market because that's like the fisherman's fish.
Oh.
Yeah, if you want some, I can give you some.
Well, I had it at Mitch Kepa's once again, and the guy had like a wok, and he was cooking them in some oil.
Yeah.
And they're little silver flat fish, and they're fabulous. Oh.
Yeah, really
but
good.
But that you can't buy those in the store.
No, you can't.
Oh, no wonder.
This is all real, you know, this stuff. And this fish has it actually buries itself in the sand.
Oh.
And he comes, but just the head is sticking up. But he goes in the sand, he gets all those little baby, sand crabs and stuff like that. So it's really, it's just like, it's like eating lobster. It's really.
Oh,
like,
really?
It is. It's fabulous. Yeah. Yes, it's fabulous. Yeah.
Wow.
But so, besides the music, I have a passion, for farming and also for eating. That's why I'm farming all the time, because I want to eat when I grow, yeah.
Was that big storm that we had a few weeks ago, did that tear up your place at all?
Well, you know, because I planted windbreaks and stuff like that, so, you know, the windbreak pretty much kept everything in there.
Yeah.
And then when the windbreaks fail, you know, it kind of breaks branches.
Yeah.
Because I got the animals, I just break the branches, feed them to the animals, and it gets right back, the manure, I put it back on the plant. So it's like a big cycle thing I've got going on.
Your place is amazing. He has a fabulous farm over there. That's really great.
Yeah.
You work hard. I think he gets up at like 4 in the morning.
I get up at 3 every morning.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I get up at 3 every morning. I go to sleep at 11, you know.
Oh, but I'm surprised you stay up so late.
Usually I have an afternoon nap. I nap at around 3, 4 o'clock. I nap for about 20 minutes or so.
What song do you want to sing?
The tarot song. We're going to do that, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Now, this song is in Auntie Ida's. Her Hawaiian name is Kikui Kui, so I in honor of her. Ae hei no ano Kikui Kui. O na kalo na ono uka ai na ibitua mo no kalaui. The tarot brings strength to the people. O na kalo no ono ka aina imi tua mo kalahui. Hiva hiva o wahi aha pele o ke alo uahi o kano imi. Mai o ka api ano ke ulolo he ono I ohui. Ohi ohi ka ele pai o no ka ala o ke ala pai. Ka I mai vale I ko ano ka I o ka ono loa o kai ala. iho mai ka ono o ka aina iwi tua mo o no ka laue. O na kano na ono o ka aina hei iwi tua mo o no ka laue. Ae, hei no ano, ke kuhi kuhi.
Beautiful.
The tarot song. Oh, yeah.
I love that. That's
yeah, I forgot to tell you about all the different tarots. Like wow. That one is called Kai'i. It's good for making kulolo. We grate that and we add coconut milk. And then you steam it in an underground oven for 24 hours.
Wow.
And like how you kalula
wow,
pig.
So it comes out really soft.
Yeah. It actually bites. It's like a pudding.
Like a pudding.
Then we have another one that's yellow.
So it's
yellow.
Like poi?
Not really. It's more like a hard pudding, like a cake kind of a pudding, yeah.
Hmm.
Then we have one called Manaulu. It's a yellow taro. Then we have one called the Kukai or Elipayo. And geez, the Elipayo bird is flying across the taro patch and it took a crap, you know, and so it's a spatter paint. It looks like a variegated. It has yellow, green, white colors inside. It's a beautiful taro.
Wow, and they all taste different.
Yeah, they all taste different. And there's another one called Kai'i. It's in this song. Kai'i is that taro, you got to cook it pound it when it's warm or it's hot. When it comes cold, it comes so hard, it's so dense, it comes like a rubber. You can throw it around on a wall and it'll bounce back and bounce into your hand. Kai'i vali, eh? So there's all these different varieties. And then lehua, that's just the one everybody knows, you know, the red taro or the purple taro. You know, they call it lehua because it's red like the taro, the lehua plant, yeah.
But taro needs a lot of water.
No. I'm from Kona. We grow it in Malastar. You know, in the taro lands, the taro gets 5-6 feet. Our taro gets 10-15 feet tall.
Wow.
It grows big, a big taro.
Huge.
Yeah. And then one taro, well, I haven't had any luck of growing over here, but in Kona, my taro used to be like the size of 5-gallon buckets, 25, 30, 40 pound taros.
Wow.
Over here, the biggest I ever got is 9, 10, 15 pounds, you know.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I want you to hear. I don't know if you've ever heard. Have you ever heard
Rock's
music?
Let's listen to Rock, yeah.
Rock has a new one. Now, tell us a little bit of the backstory behind this, Rock.
Okay, get on the mic.
Let me see. Number 9 would be Dancing Galaxies. That's currently number 3 on the Billboard Jazz Charts.
Okay. It's a great title, and this is from Paul, and you did the sax.
Right, yeah, right. So we collaborate on the music, you know?
You'll have to put your headsets on to hear this, but we'll play this now.
So, yeah, and I was kind of a surprise that this would be the 5th single released from this album.
Okay, so I'm not hearing it.
Most albums will have 1 or 2 singles.
Okay,
but
I'm going to try the other player. It's not playing on this one.
And we're working right now on the next album, which will probably be Jazz Masters 8. So we're pretty excited about it.
Here we go.
There you go.
Beautiful. Now that's smooth. There you go, right in with the guitar, that's you. So we're listening to rock. I love it, the way you blend. You know what, Rock? You really have a... They're doing Facebook and little pictures over there, too. But this is what smooth jazz is about. And you kind of did this when you were in concert with George and with Kimo. You were able to blend in so beautifully. And you pick up the notes of what's being played. And you just are like... I don't know, it's this vibe you put out on your sax. What kind of saxophone were you playing on that one?
That's my old 1946. It's like his guitar. It's old. An old sax, like me.
Oh, they're great, the old ones.
It was owned by Lester Young.
Wow.
It was called the Prez, one of the greatest sax.
So is that a Selmer?
It's a King Super 20, King? 1946.
Where'd you pick it up?
I've got it. I've had it for 40 years, and it's like my favorite. It's like George's guitar here. It's like my favorite.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and it sounds so smooth. It does. It sounds so mellow.
Yeah.
But sax can do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But blending in like that with Paul Hardcastle. We were just talking about sending Rock over to Ibiza. And you've never been to London or Ibiza. Well, you used to play in Europe, didn't you?
Yeah.
A long time ago?
Yeah.
Well, I was lucky in 1977. I was part of an entourage. They went over to play for the Queen's Jubilee, so I played for the Queen.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't know that. God, George.
Yeah.
What happened? How did that happen?
Well, let me
tell
you what happened is that in the 1778 and all of it through the 90s, you know, Captain Cook came,
mm-hmm.
and he actually named our islands the Sandwich Islands after, you know.
Right.
Then after that, it was George Vancouver came, so they brought home a lot of artifacts that the Hawaiians gave. We gave canoes, feather capes, all this stuff, different stuff. So in, I think, 77, she was probably having, you know, trying to clean up the house, you know, like cleaning the attic and stuff. So she invited all us Hawaiians to go up and pick up all of our artifacts, our drums and
how did you get to be included?
I don't know. I was part of a Native Hawaiian entourage called Alulike. I was the director from the beginning, and they wanted musicians to come. You know, so I said, "Well, I'm a musician. I can go." Uh-huh. So I went, and guess what?
You went to London.
I went to London and played for you know, and it was it's like waiting forever. You know, you wait and you wait for your turn. You know what I mean? And then
was it in a ballroom or something?
No, it was there's this whole big parade kind of a thing, and at the end of the thing, we were in this, I don't know if it's a castle, I don't even know the names of the places and
Buckingham
stuff like that.
Buckingham Palace?
Yeah, it was a palace kind of a thing. And then we went up, and then you know, when we're waiting, she's serving us these sandwiches, you know?
Queen Elizabeth?
Yeah. I mean, she brings us sandwiches.
Cute little sandwiches, huh?
Yeah, and then the thing is, cucumber sandwiches, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you know, the favorite part of the sandwich to me is, you know, the crust.
Yeah, and they cut the crust off.
She cut the crust off.
That's very English. The British do that.
That was one strike against them. Then the other strike is, you know, to me, you cannot eat cucumbers without mayonnaise, you know?
They don't use butter.
That's right.
And they call mayonnaise, they actually call mayonnaise salad dressing.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's right. Wow. So it was like butter with mayonnaise and no crust on the bread. Then she had something. I can't forget the thing. It was something pudding, Yorkshire pudding,
Yorkshire
and stuff like
that. It's big there.
Yeah, it's big there. And in the United States, to me, the food is so bland. You know, it has no flavor.
Yeah,
yeah.
And everything like that. And whatever. So the thing is, after she saw me, she said, "Can you come back tomorrow?" I said, "Shoot." So she had enough information, she did study enough, and I came back the next day, and she was a little more informal. She didn't have a crown and all that. We just kind of sit around. She's a small little lady. I don't think she's even like 5'1".
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's small.
Watching The Crown.
And her husband is really tall. He's
Philip,
like 6 feet. Yeah, he's 6 feet seven or something. So we come back the next day, and she pulls out, and she says, "You got to put on these special gloves, and you got to actually put on a
mask.
Your mask." And she's pulling out the archives, the captain's log from George Vancouver.
Oh, my gosh.
And in 1793, there's a name, Kahumoku, in there.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
And this Kahumoku guy came all the way from Kealakekua Bay, okay?
And he sailed to England?
Yeah, he was only 15 years old.
No.
He was a stowaway. He actually stowed from Kealakekua Bay. When he came from Kealakekua, he jumped on board. He was a stowaway.
Was George Cook the captain on
no,
that?
No, it was George Vancouver.
Vancouver
Captain
was.
Cook was, he, by that time...
He was dead.
He was dead already.
Way dead.
So they say that he...
Chopped up.
No, actually, they didn't do that. See, in Hawaiian culture, it's an honor to... They didn't eat him. What they do is they debone you. And because all the mana is in the bones. So when they thought they returned him with no flesh and only bones, the English didn't understand. They thought we ate him. We didn't eat him. The fish ate him. We sink the body in with rocks in the ocean, and all the fish debone it.
Wow.
And the mana is in the bones, so that's what they gave back to, you know.
They did return the bones.
Yeah. But
to England.
Yeah, but let me tell you what happened with my story.
Okay.
So this guy, George Vancouver is going flying, I'm not flying, they're sailing, they're looking for the Northeast Passage, trying to go through Canada. They don't find it. They have to go all the way around the, you know, South America. So they're going back towards England, and over at someplace by Nova Scotia, there's a big storm. The first mate falls into the ocean. Did you know that English and all the Spanish, you know, the Armada, those great big ships and those warriors, none of them know how to swim.
No.
No Englishman or nor Spanish.
Whoa.
But guess what? This young Kahumoku.
He knew how to swim.
He jumps into the water, Nova Scotia. He
and
jumps
it's cold.
He doesn't care.
Cold,
you know, he jumps in, saves the guy, saves the first mate. When he reaches England in 1794 or whatever the time was, he's knighted George by King George. That's how we get the name. I'm George Kahumoku the Ninth. After the that was the original George way back then in 1794.
And he was knighted.
He was knighted George.
Sir? Was
yeah,
he a
his
sir?
Name's George. Well, now, I'm not knighted, but he was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how we got the name.
Story. So did the queen know that one?
Yeah, she saw my name, Kahumoku and George. She put the two together. She says, are you from Kona? I said, yeah. She said, there's a young Kahumoku in 1793 or whatever that saved somebody and was knighted George. And she said, your name George? Yeah. I said, you know, I can't prove it, but, you know, there's only so many Kahumokus. We all related, you know what I mean?
He was probably one of the first Hawaiians actually to go to England.
Yeah. He was one of the first. You got to get on the mic over there.
He's like one of the first Hawaiians ever to go there, probably.
Yeah. And he was a stowaway. You know what I mean? He wasn't invited. Yeah. He just, you know. But then George Vancouver took a liking to him.
Did the queen like your Hawaiian music?
Yeah, actually, the song I sang for her was written by Queen Liliuokalani 100 years before.
Will you play it?
It was called The Queen's Jubilee.
Let's play it.
That's what I played for her, yeah.
Well, let's play
you
it.
You sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd
okay.
be great.
We'll pretend we're the queen here.
Okay. Well, let me put this back down.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do an instrumental version. I want to tune my guitar first, sorry.
Hey, George, didn't Queen Liliuokalani, she went to England.
Yeah, she went to England, too.
Yes, she was incredible.
She went for the Queen's Jubilee in 1777. This is when this, 100 years later, I'm, you know.
Wow.
I got to go.
She was an amazing musician.
She was
a wonderful writer.
Incredible person.
Well, she was actually trained. She was trained by Henry Berger, so she understood, you know, she could write, play piano, she could play guitar, ukulele.
She did some of the most beautiful songs that still live on, and they held up all these years, you know?
Yeah.
Aloha oi.
That's right, yeah.
And just as they still have her heart and soul in them.
Okay, this is a song that Queen Liliuokalani wrote called The Dream's Jubilee for Queen Victoria. I'm going to let this thing drop down.
Yeah.
So it's not in my way. Thank you.
gosh, how lovely. That's some. Did Queen's she Jubilee. Play guitar? Did she play the Queen? Did she or did she play piano?
She played guitar, piano. She played all kinds of instruments, yeah.
She did
well,
play guitar.
She also played something called the zither, too. Yeah, she played all these German instruments.
And she apparently was very was classically trained. She could read and write notes and everything. Yeah.
Did she sing to any of the songs she wrote?
Oh, yeah. This song has words, but I thought I'd do the instrumental version. But
a very complicated piece. That's not an easy piece.
I just want to say, though, just to watching him.
Beautiful.
And,
it's art.
You know the vibe that comes off his playing?
Yes.
It's like you're 3D on the beach and with the palms going, and that's just beautiful. It's a Hawaiian mute, the sound. So I just wanted to say, because I flashed on me when I was watching you play, because I just love it so much.
George, we have to do an album. We have a couple songs already written.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
I want to play the sax with him and record it.
Who else wants to come out and do with RuPaul said, I want to come out and do something with George. I love him so much.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
We got to do that.
Yeah. Okay, so, George, I hope that maybe I'm dream.
Well, we got the studio at your house. I'll just come up, man. Yeah. Just lay down some tracks. And she got the words. We just set the words.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
It would be wonderful.
Yeah,
it would
be great. Yeah.
That would be a dream for me.
Well, the dream can come true on
that
one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's just really busy. But you know what? Magic happens. Just like him coming today and being able to play this.
I got to thank Linda
Bolivar
Silva. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be able to come here, because she's actually delivering all the – she's got the hardware. She got to take the invoices, have everybody sign the stuff, deliver all the fruits and the vegetables. And
Well, you've got a big Ohana. Yeah. You got a very big Ohana.
And then she's still got to go deliver some – I think it's cucumbers and taro. We actually – we're peeling taro. I mean, taro. And then we gotta scale it. So we bought the skillet because we didn't even pull off all the roots. The roots are still on the taro. So we cleaned it and everything because we didn't have enough time. Also, I would miss your show.
You know what I was thinking, though, as you were playing this? What it would have taken to get to from Honolulu to England by ship back then must have taken... It was a long, hard journey
took months, three, four months.
For the Queen to do that, to meet the Queen and be honored with that and to play music for the Queen must have been amazing.
You got to leave like 3 months ahead, you know?
Boy.
It's like my gigs, you know, that I do. It takes 2 years to book a gig. That's how long it takes to do. So we got to...
Yeah. At the big Performing Arts Center, they book out.
They book 2 years ahead, you know? Mm.
But the Queen must have been amazed to hear that. What did she think when she heard the music, the Queen Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah.
100 years later, she's hearing the music that was sung for the... It must have been Queen Victoria?
Yeah, it was Queen Victoria. It's written for Queen Victoria.
Wow. Yeah. What an amazing circle, huh?
Yeah, yes.
And that she knew you were related to George Cahoma. Well, that's a great story.
The thing is, she knew when she seen Kahumoku, she saw that name in the...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how knowledgeable she was, that she knew. She saw it in my name. In George Vancouver's, you know, when would she have time to go read all this stuff? And then the fact that she would even let me go see it, and you know, I had to put on gloves and I had to wear a mask. So the pages are just so brittle.
She's going to be 95, and she's still Queen. 95 now. It's amazing. So you must have been there. That must have been 40 years ago.
1977. You do the math. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that would have been about 45 or something. About 40. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be about 45 years ago or something.
So she maybe was 50. She was maybe in her 50s at the time. And I was only in my 20s. I was probably only 22 or so. 77.
Were there a lot of people there? It was a huge deal.
It was a huge deal. I mean, you know, they had the parade going on. They had guys marching around.
They had a parade.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, and everybody doing the collar guard stuff, you know, like how we got. But these guys get long. They get tall hats or something. They're not like us guys.
The bear. They're made from bears, you know, bear fur.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? I didn't realize
bear fur.
That. Yeah,
real bear fur.
And they look like, like in the, they get that you know, Christmas they got those little toy soldiers.
little drummer boy.
Yeah, they look like that.
Yeah, the little drummer boy.
Oh, yeah, they're very strict. It's quite an honor. This summer it was so hot that they literally were standing still and dropping like flies because it was so hot in that uniform, and they had to stand absolutely stone still. Yeah. And they were passing out, because it's been hotter than ever there in the summer, you know.
Yeah, I was there, you know, at that time we were there.
Were you there winter?
It was like summertime, too, I think. Okay. Yeah, but it was still hot. Yeah. And then, the thing is...
Where did they put you up?
They actually put us up in the castle.
You didn't get and let me
it was like, and the thing is, let me tell you, the plumbing isn't too good. Everything was backing up. It's like, those things, I'm not kidding. The plumbing wasn't too good in those things, you know?
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, they were complaining. I've been watching The Crown. But they were complaining they didn't really have enough money to keep it off running because it's old, you know, and the plumbing only lasts so long, and that's an old palace, you know.
So
there's a lot of works that had to be done, actually. So it's true. But you got to actually sleep in the castle.
Well, I don't know if it wasn't the same palace. Castle. It was like some place on, but it was close by, maybe.
Yeah.
A couple hundred yards away.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was like, wonderful. That's quite amazing.
I was more interested in the horses and stuff.
Oh, they had quite a wonderful stable, and I love horses. Yeah. And you know, the queen loves horses. And in one of the episodes, and it's true, though, that she said that she wished that she could just be with horses and breeding them and riding them, and that was her first passion. But, of course, she couldn't do it. But they've always had wonderful stables and wonderful horses there.
Well, you know, my the greatest thing that had happened to me wasn't seeing the queen. Really, I went to Scotland. I was invited by these hippie guys, this group of hippies. This guy John and he has his wife that looks like Mama Cass, in Finhorn.
Oh, they grow the amazing plants there. The magical, they grow big.
Yeah, big. And
have you heard of Finhorn?
100-pound cabbages. And that's how I started my farming, based
not
on that.
From Finhorn.
That's
from
in England.
Well, you know, it's famous.
It's in Scotland. It's Scotland.
Were,
we have to go.
They were talking. They talked to their plants. Hmm. They love their plants. They were way ahead of their time.
It's based on manure. My whole farm is based on that. We're doing it the same thing, but you know, I learned a lot from those guys. You know,
I didn't know that's what started
We're doing it anyway, but they're just like way ahead of our time.
So there's a place in Alaska called the Matanuska Valley where they grow giant carrots and cabbages.
I hadn't heard about that. But Findhorn at that time, in the late 60s and 70s, became very famous because they were doing what no one else was doing.
Right. And then,
it on an island off Scotland, or was it?
No, it's in the mountains. In Scotland. My friend told me I met some people who were born and raised over there, and they came to my show, and they said now it's like a big kind of a
retreat, and people go there. And it's a
tourist spot. They got big hotels and something.
They don't.
It looks like Wailea or something like that.
No.
Now. Yeah, it's not like the country. When I was there, it's all country stuff. You know, we actually slept in a barn with the animals. It was sort of like being the manger kind of stuff, like Moses, not Moses, but Jesus and Mary and Joseph kind of thing. It was like that. It was kind of roughing it.
And how long were you up in Findhorn for?
We just stayed for a couple of days, then we had to come back home, you know.
Well, that's an amazing experience, and you were lucky to be there
To me, Findhorn is more exciting than being at the, and they had better food, too.
Did you stay in touch with them?
Not really. When I came home, we went back and forth for a while, you know, and stuff. But what they taught me about Rudolf Steiner.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I found out about Waldorf schools and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Very, very enlightened man.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's how we were buying down. The same, in fact, I think it was 77, by the end of the year, I was biodynamically certified because I was so much into their.
Look at what started from what seeds were planted, right?
And then the guys who certified me came all the way from Maine or something, a place like that, from the East Coast. I can't remember.
They came to Hawaii to certify you.
Yeah, and they were like, you know, they're all hippies.
That's right. They were.
Amazing. Yeah, George, you're incredible. This guy is.
I know.
I can just say to listen all day.
I know. I love his talk story. The best talk stories around. But we're just about out of time.
Okay.
We want to remind people to go to your website.
Yeah, kahumoku.com, kahumoku.com.
And for your website, Rock?
You can go rockhendricks.com, or you can go. You can look us up too on YouTube, Rock Hendricks, Paul Hardcastle.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's wonderful
and
stuff.
Come join my show on Wednesdays. It's been going for 17 years now, and I'm at Nalo's for the last 2 years. Thank you.
Yay. Thank you. So wonderful to have you. Mele Kalikimaka and big, big aloha. Love you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha.